You know what's so weird about that announcement there when they speak about divine direction? And he's like saying, God, like, show me if I should like propose to her and then we'll be like married and stuff. So that whole thing was like, God must just give him a sign. Well, I totally think God gave him a very clear sign from the word of God. He said, put on the armor and get ready for war. Like, there's Jesus right there. You know, they say like marriage is a walk in the park, Jurassic Park. But it's actually a beautiful thing, and you can trust God to get married. It's the way God works. That was just for free. And it's so special and so good to see what God's been doing across our campuses today as we've celebrated baptisms and changed lives. But something that's been so clear in everyone's story, even in the two stories we heard tonight, is that for everyone in their journey and their human experience, whether they came to know Jesus last week or whether they've known him for a long time and this was a step they needed to take, or you might be here and not even be a follower of Jesus yet, but we all have this one thing in common, and every story revealed this, that we struggle with anxiety and fear and tension in our human experience. And it can manifest in harming ourselves or seeing ourselves physically as not good enough and then falling into eating disorders or into addictions or panic. And very often they're physical symptoms of the stress of this human experience we so often have. And we will try and seek and find ways in our humanity and in our strength and understanding to fix the insufficiency of our human experience. We don't just experience anxiety and tension throughout our human journey, but we also very often get to the point where we begin to feel empty or like we get to the bottom of ourselves. One of the stories we heard was, I hit rock bottom. And at that stage, we're like, what is the meaning of all of this? And then somewhere again, we muster the strength and we keep going. But the truth is this, that even though we so often in our human story experience these things, the most significant way we can handle the stress of our human experience is not by approaching it from the outside in, but from the inside out. Because in every human, there's more than just your flesh. There's a spirit man inside you, the breath breathed by God. And it's more accurate for us to say that we are spiritual beings on a human journey instead of seeing ourselves as humans on a spiritual journey. And so to deal with the struggle of our human experience and the anxiety and the stresses we face, we can't approach it from the outside in, from the human understanding and human strength. We have to approach it from the inside out, from the spirit of God and from the soul place inside every one of us. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 helps us understand this principle in the way God created us when it said, when someone becomes a Christian, like those tonight being baptized, he becomes a brand new person inside. It's in the soul. It's in the soul. He is not the same anymore. A new life has begun. You see, your external victories start from an internal place. And Romans 8, verse 10 and 11 says this, but if Christ is in you from the inside out, then even though your body externally is subject to death because of sin, the spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies on the outside because of his spirit who lives in you. The power of God is a work from the inside out. And no matter who you are in your human story, which will be full of moments of stress, anxiety, and suffering, if you're experiencing that in your human journey, the power to overcome always starts from the place on the inside, not in finding solutions on the outside, because your external victories will always start from an internal place. And so I want to look at this whole idea of like stress in our everyday lives. And no matter who we are, even young people, we have stress all the time. We're worried about how people think of us and whether we're going to pass and what we're going to do when we finish school. If we're older, we would have experienced stress in many different ways. And I want you to participate with me now. I'm going to ask you in a moment to raise your hand with me if you agree with me. So here's the scenario. And I had to change it because I'm not in Melkbos now, so I can't use the beach there as an example. So let me think of another one. Okay, you are like, if you're not a follower of Jesus, you've decided you want to do something good for other people. So you've got ice cream on a hot summer's day and you've gone to the park to give ice creams to all the kids that are playing over there, okay? If you're a follower of Jesus, like God's spoken to you and told you to like make cups of coffee and write Jesus loves you in scriptures and go and give them to people at the park just to bless them. So you're going now to do something for the good of someone else. You're giving up your time, talents, treasures. You go to the park and you start handing out these ice creams or coffee, and the people that are there misunderstand what you're doing. And so they all beat you up, okay? So they start like kicking you on the floor and they're beating you up. And then they're so angry, they take you down to Buddhist police station and they throw you in the cells there, and then they put like stocks on your legs overnight. Okay, this is where I need your help. Who would be stressed by that situation? I just want you to raise your hand. Okay, the rest of you are liars, but Jesus forgives us, and that's another sermon for another day. No, we all have our hands up. We all acknowledge that that kind of thing would be stressful. Now, I want you to think about something else, but I don't want you to give any input around this, because some of us shouldn't be sharing what we would do. But how would you react in your stress and anxiety in that situation? Some of us would be freaking out and fighting. Some of us would be fainting and overwhelmed by everything that was going on. And it's interesting, because although I'm using this as an illustration and modernizing it for you and I, this is actually an event that happened in history recorded in the pages of Scripture. And this happened to a man called Paul and his friend Barnabas. They'd been called by God to go and reach people for the good, and they were giving themselves completely. They were misunderstood. They were beaten with rods and thrown into a prison with stocks put around their legs. Now, it's nighttime, midnight, in fact, and they record the response of Paul in the midst of this external anxiety and these circumstances surrounding him. And here it is. Acts chapter 16, 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Fruitcakes. Like, we're, and they're like praying and singing hymns to God. I'm not, I don't understand that. And the other prisoners were listening to them. We're talking about this because we live in a world where we react in our human experience to our brokenness, our struggles, and our circumstances becoming overwhelmed so often. But here we have someone just like you and me, very human, having an experience which could have destroyed them and led them to their own suicide. But instead, the response here is one of praying and praising, and it leaves us begging the question, why would Paul have responded that way in that circumstance? Well, it's because external restraints could not steal his inner soul freedom in Christ. It's because his internal peace meant his external pressures couldn't steal his joy. In fact, the joy of the Lord on the inside gave him the strength to stand strong on the outside. Because God works from the inside out, and your external victories always begin internally. And so this man, Paul, obviously is practicing what he preaches. Because he writes in Philippians 4 verse 6, and he says this, don't worry about anything. Okay, well, you've just proved that. Instead, pray about everything. What did they do? Paul and Silas were praying and thank him for all he has done. They were singing hymns. Instead, don't worry about anything. Pray and thank God for all he has done. And thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. why do you think we struggle to understand how Paul could have responded this way in the prison? Because he did that. And so he experienced a peace that goes beyond our understanding. A peace that exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. There's the condition. As you live in Christ Jesus. The deepest parts of who you are can only find true satisfaction and peace in Jesus. And so the question for you and I tonight is, are you living in a personal relationship with Jesus? Because when you are, you can experience this overwhelming, victorious peace in your soul, regardless of your circumstances externally. Studies recently that were done around anxiety and stress revealed that the two most significant triggers to internal stress in our lives are caused by the need to control and the pursuit of ideals. So the things that mess our head up, get us to a point, it's like, I'm falling apart. We can't cope with life anymore. The things that bring us to the end of our string, that leave us feeling like we've hit rock bottom, the stress and anxiety are too much, very often are linked to one of these two things or both. We are trying to control something which is now out of our control, or we're pursuing ideals and destroying everyone on our path of getting what we want, including ourselves, or we've missed getting those ideals and we're blaming the world and living in that stress and tension. And it's interesting that these two dynamics are actually part of what's woven into our fiber as human beings created by God, because both of these existed in a healthy and good way at the beginning of creation. Think about control. In the first book of the Bible documenting creation, it tells us that God gave man dominion over all other things. God gave man full control. We named the animals. But after sin entered God's perfection, that order of dominion was corrupted. And man's response has been to seek and to take back control ever since. The desire to control has its roots in the way God created us. We want to make right. We want to fix it. We're trying. And somewhere in you, even if you're not a follower of Jesus, your natural desire to control is rooted in the fact that you are created by a God that is alive. And then the idea of ideals and perfection being one of the triggers of our stress and our human experience. Well, the reality is we were created in perfection. And it was the fall of man that led to that perfection, inviting darkness and brokenness into what was not supposed to be dark and broken. And so we live our lives with a part of us always seeking to somehow try and restore the ideal or the perfect in whatever way it might manifest in our lives, from the perfect house to the best perfect relationship, to whatever it is we are trying to attain and achieve and succeed in. And this is a crazy thing, because what we as humans messed up that was given to us by God, we live trying to fix like we are God. We're living trying to control and bring the control back from all the control that we lost at the fall of man and the sin that entered the world. We live our lives stressed out because, oh, I have this plan in my head of how I was, and I've done everything to try and control my destiny, getting there and having the perfect house and all the money I need, and it didn't happen. And when the doctor told me that, that wasn't the plan, and now it's off course. And we're just consumed by this need to control and to have the ideals we desire met in our lives, and it causes stress because we will never be able to fix what only God could create. And that's why it doesn't fit the human experience for us to try to be God, so we can get over trying to be God. And it's a little like when my cell phone broke, my iPhone, and I'm like, cool, I'm going to fix it. I don't know if any of you have ever done that. You're like, no, I can do this, man. So a little bit of Sellotape on the chipped areas, and a few days later, like lifting off, and then you're like irritated, and so you peel it, and then the little bits of glass come out with it, so you freak out, and maybe you like think you're really a boffin, so you go to the glass shop, and you're like, do you have thin glass, and can you cut it for me in this shape? And then you go home, and you start picking out all the glass and shove it on, because you're going to fix it, and you're striving, and you want to have enough control to repair this and fix it, because your ideal is a phone that works better than it ever did before, and your ability to brag and tell everyone how you did it yourself. The reality is you won't, and you'll end up more stressed with the phone and probably going, oh, this thing won't fit anymore, I'm so sick of this. And then it goes against the wall. It's a little bit what it's like when we live trying to take control of everything and pursue and reach all our ideals and our strengths, striving to do what only God can do. What I need to do with that phone is I need to go back to the iStore where I got it when it was still perfect. I need to go back to the source. And in the same way, you and I can only experience that deep inner peace and wholeness in the midst of a human experience full of stress by going back to the source. It's interesting how in this very same study around these two triggers for stress, they discovered that's a significant factor in calming the symptoms of inner stress was real relationship. So let me explain. They did a little test and they took people that they had got stressed out. And when the person was stressed, they would bring someone into the room that they maybe didn't know, but that was calm and not kind of overwhelmed the same way the stressed person was. And they found the stressed person's symptoms became less. More significant than that, when the stressed person was in the presence of a loved one, the symptoms almost didn't appear at all. And they concluded that real relationships were the key to overcoming internal stresses. Now, this is not coincidental. You see, the Bible told us this a long time ago, because God's mission and ambition has always been and will always be relationship over religion. And so when we are in Christ, the lover of our soul alongside us, we experience a peace that transcends all understanding, and the symptoms of stress in our human experience no longer have the final word. Because suddenly when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For you with me, because the lover of my soul is with me in relationship. And so I will not fear. And in fact, when my enemy accuses and throws me in prison, you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemy. And surely goodness and love will then follow me all the days of my life. And even when the voice of death comes to knock on my door, it will not have the final word. Because I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My question tonight is, are you in real relationship with Jesus? Religion would say to you and I tonight, work your way from weakness to perfection. Come on, get all the rules right. You can't come in this church because you're a hypocrite and you're weak. You need to get all your religion right and strong, and so then you'll be good enough for God. And guess what? Even if we've chosen not to be religious, and maybe we've even forced you, we act very religious because we live our lives very often trying to control and create the perfect ideal that's missing. We're trying to strive in our weakness to be stronger and better, to control more and live in the ideals that we dream of. But Jesus takes the stress and the pressure and the burden of religion off us. And he says, in my perfection, I've worked my way into your weakness. In my perfection, I came to replace you on the cross. I worked my way in the human experience so that I could know your suffering and your temptation. Scripture tells us that we do not have a high priest that can't empathize with us in our weakness, but one that suffered the very same things we did. And then it says, therefore, we can come to the throne of grace with confidence. And so God gives us a gift of salvation through Jesus. We tonight, we can come before him because of what Christ has done, not what you've done. You don't have to come with your right religion. You can just come because Jesus wants a real relationship. Because when you're in real relationship, then you can experience the peace that transcends all understanding. Even when you walk into death, it rather becomes your final deliverance instead of your defeat. So he's inviting you in salvation to a real relationship with him. He worked it out for you. And then he says, will you take hold of the gift that I make available for your life? And hear the words that I believe God is speaking to us. The words of Jesus recorded in history that have the power and are still alive and active from the mouth of God to you tonight. And this invitation is both to you if you're not a follower of Jesus yet, and also it's for those that are followers that maybe are overwhelmed by your anxiety and your struggles, your depression, or your feeling that you're never matching up to the ideal you thought you should have been matching up to, or the things you've tried to control that you feel are out of control. And this is what Jesus says to us in inviting us tonight. Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened by religious rituals that provide no peace, and I will give you rest, refreshing your souls with salvation inside. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, following me as my disciple. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, renewal, blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. Jesus says, take his yoke upon you. For his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And a yoke was a wooden thing which they would connect to oxen that would then drag the burden of the plow back in the day. And sometimes there'd be other things that these oxen would be pulling. And what Jesus is saying is take off the weight of the heavy wooden burden of religion and your own efforts and your own strengths. Take it off and put on mine. Partner with me and let me lead you, because my yoke is easy and the burden you will drag with me is light. It doesn't carry the baggage that yours does on your own. And he says this because the soul was not made for an easy life. The soul was made for an easy yoke. Tonight, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because our lives aren't easy, you don't have to fear evil, because you can be wearing a yoke that is easy and a burden is light, in relationship with the living God, Jesus Christ, who gives you a peace that will transcend all understanding, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can we close our eyes and bow our heads? And right now, all over this place, some of us are going to throw off the yoke of our lives and the weight of living our human journey without Christ. And we're going to experience something that we've never experienced. We're going to experience salvation through Jesus. And right now, if you're saying, I want to know Jesus Christ, I want to come to him like his invitation calls for, and I want to surrender to him and know him, not in a religious way, but out of a true and real relationship tonight, I want to give you that opportunity right now. And so I'm going to pray for everyone, but I just want to acknowledge all over this place, all those that are saying, I want Jesus in my life and I want to become a follower of Jesus. And so just before I pray, just so I can acknowledge everyone in this place which wants to pray that, would you just raise your hand if you're saying, I want to pray this, and you can put it down again. I want once you just lifted your hand, thank you, I see that hand over here. Are there others? Thank you, I see those two hands at the back. Are there others right now? You're saying, I want to know Jesus. Thank you, I see your hand far at the back. You're saying, pray for me. Thank you, I see those two hands under the balcony. Is there anyone else? You're saying, I want to be in relationship. I see the two hands in the front left-hand side right now. Is there anyone else? Saying, I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to know in relationship. Thank you at the far back, those three hands. Let me pray. And as I pray for those that raise their hands, I want to ask you if you would echo these words that I pray with my mouth from your heart to God. Lord Jesus, I come before you tonight and I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Jesus, I acknowledge that nothing I do is good enough, but what you did for me on the cross by dying and being raised from the dead is all I need to experience salvation. Tonight I accept what you have done for me and I ask you to come into my life. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Father God, we come before you. We thank you for your grace and mercy. For every one of us again, just being reminded that Jesus leads us, gives us the strength to overcome the circumstances which often oppress us. We ask that you would give each one of us strength again to rise up with a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light in the name of Jesus. And God's people said together, amen. Amen. Can we give a round of applause to God? How good is it to know how awesome He is? He just takes us as we are.